All right, good morning. Welcome to Amazing Grace Community Church. If you'll grab your Bibles and turn to John 10. John 10, beginning with verse 11. This morning's message is titled, The Job of the Shepherd. Are you there? Read with me. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. Well, we've been a church now for more than 10 years. And today, it's time for a grown-up conversation. I've avoided it because I don't want anyone to think this church is about me. I prefer to be discreet and fly under the radar and not be a creator of gossip. I do my best to live as Jesus tells me. He doesn't tell me to fight back or to overcome evil with evil. But it's time for us to grow up, to have this adult conversation. I pray this edifies us and does not become a wedge that the enemy uses to divide. Any organization or church has to have some sort of rules, a code of behavior, and leadership. You can't have an organization with anything goes. There will be nothing but chaos, confusion, and destruction. We are a church formed by the Holy Spirit. And our rules of behavior have been given to us by Jesus. We follow the Bible in faith, not logic or what we think would be best. And when we have problems or questions, we go to the Bible first, not some other code or protocol or manual. We're a non-denominational independent church. We use the Bible. We don't have a denominational handbook or manual that we must follow. We use the Bible. Now, a shepherd, as outlined by Jesus, is supposed to care for the sheep. And this includes protecting them. As the shepherd of this church, I'm charged with that for this church. And I have to defend each one of you, even to lay my down life if necessary. Literally, not figuratively. As the shepherd here, I'm tasked to make sure that harm doesn't come in the door. I have to make sure the children are protected from the government, from other children, and from adults. I periodically check the registered sex offenders list to make sure I know if someone that is coming on to church or food pantry is on that list. You probably don't know that. As a shepherd, I'm fiercely for you. I put my life up for you. I'm absolutely not asking for any special honors or accolades. What I am asking is that you understand I am for you, each one of you. When the shepherd sees one of the sheep being attacked verbally or physically from another sheep, he needs to step in and deal with the issue. And he must do it with grace, amazing grace. It must be in a Jesus-directed, biblically-centered way. His grade comes from Jesus, not the world or the congregation, YouTube or Facebook. It's not how many likes he has. It's all about what Jesus says. Church members come from all backgrounds, especially churches who are welcoming in anyone and everyone, such as we do. We welcome in people who aren't saved, people who have never belonged to a church. They don't come in knowing how to be a part of the body. In fact, many come in thinking they are the whole body. It's all about them. If a situation can't be resolved through confession and forgiveness and reconciliation, a separation or a timeout must happen. Nobody likes the thought of being kicked out of the flock or the church. It's a hard decision. Thankfully, the Bible gives us specific directions with specific actions. If you'll turn in your scriptures to Titus chapter 3 with me. Titus chapter 3. We'll begin reading with verse 10. It says, "Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned." Every now and then a church member becomes unhappy about something, or they're simply not getting their way. And they stomp out, and then they call their church members, trying to recruit them to their side and to press the issue against the church. And this often erupts into a church split or other members joining in this divisiveness. When a church member is creating division, this instruction in Titus 3 must be followed. There will be some in the church who think, "Thank God, what took so long?" And others, "What gives you the right to kick them out?" Trust me, I've heard both. Therefore, the elders must tread carefully and prayerfully so that they can be resolute and in agreement that they made the right decision, because there's almost always some fallout to any decision. We here at Amazing Grace have had to do this. If and when there are disagreements or problems between two church members, Jesus gives us a very specific way of handling that as well. So we were just talking about a church member that's divisive, a factious man, and now we're moving on to disagreements or sinning between church members. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, we'll begin with verse 15 through 18. Jesus says, "If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." In other words, the Jews were not real fond of the Gentiles and tax collectors, and they kept them at a distance. Jesus finishes up in the last verse, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." So when a church member brings an issue to the shepherd, he's wise to direct him to follow this process that we just read from Jesus. If the member cannot win over his brother, and it's brought back to the shepherd, he must then bring it to the church. This is not fun, I guarantee you. And most every shepherd will avoid this like the plague. A shepherd or a church who avoids it, though, is sinning and being disobedient to Jesus. It's his church. We here at Amazing Grace have had to do this as well. And trust me, it is no fun. But it must be done with grace. Amazing grace. The elders of this church, including the elders and the shepherd, need to be in agreement in any of these difficult actions. And as Jesus said, he enforces it from heaven. And this is the true meaning of whatever two or three of you bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It means in the situation of disagreements, of agreements, the elders and shepherds of the church who agree in unity, it's enforced from heaven. This is taken out of context so many times. Individuals going around saying, "I bind you, I loose you," and they're thinking that, you know, heaven is enforcing it. Totally out of context. This is Jesus talking about how we operate as a church, as a body, as brothers and sisters. The church is a spiritual body, and it's led by spiritual rules. It isn't a club or a clique or even a board or a committee. We don't kick someone out because we don't like them or they're difficult to get along with. Can't tell you how many times I've had to cry out to God in prayer over church members that were making my life so difficult. And he's reminded of me of this. And God takes care of these situations in his time, in his way. So, there's a tactic of the devil, and it is to attack the shepherd so that the sheep scatter. Sometimes the wolf comes from outside the pen, and other times it's a sheep disguised as a wolf and comes from within. So in this message, we've been talking about what the job of the shepherd is. We've talked about the uncomfortable situation where he has to deal with a factious man, a divisive church member. We've talked about how two church members who are sinning against each other, one offending one another, and how they have to deal with it, and what happens if they can't deal with it, and how it's brought before the church. And then what happens if they still don't listen. And now we're moving into another tactic of the devil, and that is attacking the shepherd so that the sheep flee. False accusations are often made against the shepherd or one of the elders. People outside the church can make them, and members within the church can make them. And here at Amazing Grace, we've experienced many of each. False accusations are handled differently, depending on whether they are from the outside or from within. From the outside, we usually just let our actions speak. We don't fight evil with evil, and we try to overcome evil with good. This always works. False accusations against the shepherd or an elder from within the church is to be handled in a specific manner. So if you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5, verses 19 and 20. Are you there? It says, "Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Those who continue in sin rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also will be fearful of sinning." Those are some strong words. And we here at Amazing Grace have also had false accusations against the shepherd too, and against elders. And it required us to be grace-filled in our handling of it. We sought out scripture and determined it was false. The accuser did not have any evidence, nor did they bring a witness. In fact, the elders probably shouldn't have even listened to it. But in grace, they gave her time to make her accusations. The elders had to discuss and pray over the issue for many days. We lost sleep and had arguments with our spouses, but we came together and kept coming together to a decision until we were in unity. If we all didn't agree, then we didn't make the decision. And then, once we were in unity, we wrote out a response to the accuser and took the appropriate actions. Now, you might be saying, wait a minute, why should an accuser have to have a witness? Because, you know, after all, some things happen out of sight and there are no witnesses. Well, God has a reason for having witnesses, and to look at the root of this, I mean, this is Jesus speaking, but he came to fulfill the law. And so we go back to the law and we read in Deuteronomy 19. So if you'll turn your scriptures to Deuteronomy 19, we'll read verse 15. This is part of the Mosaic law. And it says, "A single witness shall not rise up against a man on account of any iniquity or any sin which he has committed. On the evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. If a malicious witness rises up against a man to accuse him of wrongdoing, then both the men who have the dispute shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who will be in office in those days. The judges shall investigate thoroughly, and if the witness is a false witness, and if he has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him just as he had intended to do to his brother. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you. The rest will hear and be afraid, and will never again do such an evil thing among you. Thus you shall not show pity. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot." So, I'm sure you're familiar with that last sentence, that last verse, but look at the role of having witnesses and how it protects from false accusations and how it protects a genuine accuser, one who has been wronged. Now the response not only needs to be written, it needs to be read to the church. What? Oh, please don't insist on that. Remember back in 1 Timothy 5 earlier in this message, where we said, don't receive the accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses, and those who continue, rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also will be fearful of sinning. I've heard it said that somebody that's repenting doesn't keep on making the accusations. That demonstrates no confession, no forgiveness, no sense of responsibility of wrong. If the shepherd and the elders don't follow the scripture all the way through, this divisive person will persist. Another sheep will be heard, and the church itself might be destroyed. Then some of the church members will carry the disdain and trauma with them the rest of their life. And too often they then become activists for Satan in putting down the church and even Christianity. We've all seen that. We don't like confrontation, and nobody likes having to bring a matter out into the open before the whole church. But the fact of the matter is, the rumors are circulating anyway, so you might as well just deal with it in truth and in the open. And that's why we need to read the response and bring the issue before the church. We said that there are times that this divisive person must separate, that we must treat him like a Gentile or a tax collector, to have nothing to do with them. Turn with me to Romans 16, and we're going to look at why must a divisive person be separated. It's more of a timeout, a separation, hopefully giving time for the divisive person to repent and return and be reunified. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you have learned, and turn away from them. So again, if we're going to follow Scripture, we need to follow it all the way, not just part of the way. As a body, as a local church, we have to stand for each other. We have to be a place of security as well as inspiration. The one another place. We have to agree to be a part of the body, a part, not the only part. We have to be in unity, and our source of unity is Jesus and the Bible. Jesus has given us rules of fellowship within the local church, and we must follow them to the best of our ability. I hope this message has edified you. I know it's a difficult one. I know I sure don't like to preach on this. But it's important that you insist on this manner of leadership in the church you belong to, that you recognize what the job of the shepherd is. Thanks for listening in, and may God's grace and peace be upon you. Amen. Let's gather around and pray for one another.